open it up, look with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5 is where we'll be this morning. Romans chapter number 5. We have been talking on Sunday evenings through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, talking much about faith and the faith that was demonstrated through the Old Testament saints. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful place to be for the last several weeks, and looking forward to tonight with Moses. And so I'd invite you to be back tonight as we look at the faith of Moses and his refusal to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and joining with the Israelites and God leading Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, even in a midst of his own maybe a little confusion as to why would God choose me? And if you've ever been there before wondering why God chose you, you'll relate to Moses a little bit this evening. But we come to Romans chapter 5 and we find some more information about faith. If you go back to Romans chapter 4, we find the faith of Abraham, and that it was not by works that he obtained righteousness, and neither is it by works that we obtain righteousness. Amen? And when we come to chapter 5, the Bible says, therefore, in verse number 1, being justified by faith. So when we get, whenever you see the word therefore, I heard someone say many years ago when I was in high school, whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to go and find what it is there for. And so that would be chapter 4, as it again described Abraham and his faith, not by works. And now we have that. So therefore, being justified by faith. Just as Abraham was justified by faith, you and I are justified by faith. And so we continue. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation, or that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want you to notice there in verse number 1, where he says, therefore being justified by faith, notice the phrase, he says, we have peace with God. And then in verse number 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith. This morning, as we look at these five verses out of Romans chapter 5, I want to preach a message entitled to you, What We Have in God. What we have in God. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you, God, we have come to you multiple times throughout this day. And God, as we do that, may it not be by vain repetition, may it not be by our own religious activity, but Father, may we come to you because we need you. And Father, as we have gathered in this place, we have gathered to hear from you and to hear your word given to our hearts through our ears. And Father, as that is done, may we apply it to our life, that we may live thereby, that we may know that what we have comes from you and you alone. May we be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. What do we have in God? He says right off the bat in verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first off, what we have is a position. We have a position in Jesus Christ. And within this position, he declares it to us of the position that we have right off the bat, as he says, being justified by faith. Now, I heard a very simple definition of justification many years ago, that it is just as if I had never sinned. But what is, as that position being declared, that of justification or that being justified, we also must describe what is there. We see my guilt within this idea of justification or being justified. I, as a sinner, am guilty. And so are you. Don't think it's just me here today. I want to put us all in that same company, in the same boat. We are all in the same boat of sinners. But, therefore, being justified by faith. Ephesians says, by grace are you saved through faith. If you know Christ as your Savior today, you have been justified by faith. That means you have had your guilt absolved. That guilt has been done away with because of the merits of Jesus Christ. The merits of Jesus Christ, and not your own, not my own. It is not anything that you and I could ever do. But I have accepted or been accepted by God, the Father, as being righteous. As being righteous. Now again, it's not my righteousness, but again, by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have a position. That position is one of justification. We see as we continue here, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. Can I tell you, not only do we have a position, but number two, we have a possession. We possess something this morning. We possess something that only comes from God. We find that wonderful, glorious peace that we have. You see, it's something that only salvation can bring. Peace. Paul describes it in the book of Philippians as a peace that passeth all understanding. You see, it's a peace that we really can't explain. It's a peace that we can't just set to the side and say, let me describe it to you. No, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a peace that when we look at it and when we see it and when we have it and when we observe it in other people's lives, we would say, you know, they probably shouldn't be that peaceful right now. Wonder where that comes from. Well, I don't have to wonder. It comes from God. Why? Because he says you have this possession. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have peace, but look what he says in verse number 2. He says we possess something else. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace. Into his grace. We have access to God. We possess something that we have. We have peace and we have an access. Sometimes, when we go, we find a door that is locked. A locked door, you must have access to be able to get in. Now, you say, well, I can break in, and you might be able to break in through some doors, but there are some doors and some places that are just impenetrable. Well, the throne of God is one of those. It's impenetrable. You're not getting through except one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said in John chapter 10, I believe it was, he said, I am the door. If any man enter in. But you see, it's through Jesus Christ. But through Jesus Christ, we have access, look what it says, by faith into this grace. Oh, we have a access through Jesus Christ to the grace of God. It's a wonderful thing. He says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because we have access. Isn't this a wonderful thing? This is a wonderful thing that we have access to God. Why? Because of the relationship that we have. Because of the position we have. We have a possession here. Hey, can I tell you what else this brings with it is an assurance. Notice what it says here. In verse number 2, it says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Again, our position, where we're standing, we're there as a child of God, as a son of God. But notice, it says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have hope this morning. He says, the grace wherein we now stand. oh, we have this. This assurance that we have is one that we have here. He says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, hope, when we think of hope, we think, well, it's something that we want to happen or it might happen. That's how we typically use the word hope. And I was a little intrigued here as I looked at this word hope of the glory of God. There is, it caused me to go and see what the word hope actually means. And what does it mean? Did I have the proper understanding on it? And I'll admit I did not. Because when I went there, I went to Webster's 1828 dictionary, and here's what he had to say. He said, hope is a confidence in a future event. It is a trust, or it means to trust, with confident expectation of good. So we would say, in our vernacular today, we would say things like, well, I hope so, or we might say, I hope not. Why? Because when it comes to hope, it is having something that is the expectation of something that is good. Well, the fact of the matter is this, there is a confidence in our hope. But you see, from time to time, we lose confidence, don't we? We certainly do. I mean, we lose confidence in not in what God has done, but usually we lose the confidence in based upon what we have done. And we go through this, and we have a lot of what ifs. And from time to time, I get asked questions of what ifs within the Christian life. What if I do this? What's going to happen? Or what if I do this? What's going to happen? What if I do this? Or what if I do that? And we're always trying to think about some what if. And I have some what-ifs this morning. You know, what if we stopped looking for a reason not to believe and just started taking God at His word? What if we didn't? Where would we be? I mean, if we just took God for what God says, oh my. You mean we'd have to take ourselves out of the equation? Well, what if we took ourselves out of the equation and just trusted in what God says? What if we just believe that the same God who is powerful enough to save us is powerful enough to keep us? Amen. I mean, what if? What if we just did that? What if we just let eternal mean eternal? What if we let everlasting mean everlasting? What if we just rejoiced in the salvation that we have in Him and rested in that blessed assurance that Fanny Crosby wrote about? What if we just did that? I wonder where we'd be if we just understood the assurance that God gives us. What if we let hope mean hope? Something that we can have confidence in. I have confidence to know that Jesus died to save me. I have confidence, I have hope to know that He does this. We have the assurance here and we have the assurance hereafter. You see, I'm going to a city. It's not made with hands. You and I would see. Going to a city of a place that's real. Say, how can you know it's real? You've never seen it. You know, there's a lot of things that I've never seen that I believe is real. I believe it. I've never been to California before, but I believe it's there. I've never been to Alaska. I mean, let's just take that whole western side of the country. I've never been there. But I believe it's there. There's lots and lots of places that I've never been. I've never been to the Antarctic. But I believe it's there. I've never been to the moon. I don't think anybody's ever been to the moon, but it's a whole nother topic. But I believe it's there. I can see it. What do you believe? And look, let me just explain something to you. Our belief does not determine the truth. That is not what determines truth. Truth determines truth. So you say, well, I don't believe in heaven, preacher. Well, that's okay. It doesn't make it not there. I just happen to have that hope, and I have confidence to know that through Jesus Christ, again, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that's Jesus, also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have a position. We stand in the grace of God. We stand being justified. Justified. We have a possession. We have a privilege. What is this privilege? Well, look at verse number 3. As he says, we'd rejoice in hope, the glory of God. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. You see, we have a privilege here. What do we have in God? Well, I have a position, I have a possession, I have a privilege. One, the privilege to glory in tribulation. That statement by itself, that statement alone, really doesn't add up, does it? Tribulation, something horrible, something terrible, something bad taking place and happening in my life. You're telling me, preacher, that I need to glory in this, that I should find rejoicing tendencies in something bad happening to me or in my life? Well, I'm not telling you that, but the Bible is. We have a privilege to be able to glory in a time of pressure. A privilege to glory in trouble, to be patient in trouble, to have experience or something that's going to prove or mature our character within the Christian life, that we can have a confident expectation and we won't be disappointed. That's what he's saying. We have a privilege in this. Note the progression here. He says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So I got to glory in that? Well, not just glory, but also rejoice. It means we have to find joy again. Somebody said that the road to maturity is paved with struggle. Consider that for a moment. I mean, as you look at the road that's been paved before us, we've talked about some of these Old Testament saints in weeks gone by through Hebrews chapter 11, but if you went to Abraham, would you find any struggle in the life of Abraham? Well, certainly we would. But yet it helped him to grow. If you went to Abraham and said, where did you struggle most? I don't personally know where Abraham would say, but I would venture to say that it may have been on Mount Moriah when he took Isaac, his only son, making an altar of wood, getting ready to drop the knife on his son when God said, whoa, Abraham, Abraham, I've provided myself a lamb. Hebrews says that Abraham had enough faith that if he was going to kill his son Isaac, that God was powerful enough to raise him from the dead. Amen. He said, if I've got to kill my son, I know God's powerful enough to make him live again. I don't know that I would have that much faith. I have no idea, but I think Abraham would point to Moriah. So that's where it was at. What about Jacob? As he made his pillow a stone, as he wandered in the wilderness running for his life. Oh, he dealt with some struggle. What about Joseph? What would Joseph point to? With all the heartache of Joseph's life, he might point to the day his father sent him to check on his brothers. And his brother saw him coming wearing his coat of many colors that his father made for him, and they took him and plotted to kill him, and rather than killing him, they sold him into slavery. It may have been that day as he was carried off, doing nothing but what his father told him to do. It may have been the day when Potiphar's wife tried to make a move on him, and he refused, saying, "How can I do a great sin against God?" She accused him of unthinkable things. He's thrown into prison, losing 3 years of his life for something he didn't do. Maybe it was the time that he told the baker and the butler, "Remember me when you get out." They didn't remember him for a long time. Maybe it was that day. I don't know, but some experience there that Joseph had. For Moses, it might be the backside of the desert that he spent some time in. Or maybe it was when he carried the tablets down the mountain that God had given him 10 commandments to give the children of Israel. Sees them dancing and having a party around a golden calf that they raised up to be their God. So much so that he broke the tablets. I wonder what it would be in Moses' life. What about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? How about those three? Anybody even know who those are? Who that is? Some of you? You might know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like calling them by their name their mother gave them. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Instead of their Babylonian names. I tell you, they refused the order of the king. Thrown into a fiery furnace. Think about, so they said, "Hey, check on them." Open up that furnace door. "Hey, didn't we throw 3 in that fire?" Yet there's 4. Maybe it was that day for them. Daniel, of course, he'd point to a den of lions. Not a great day for him. And yet God shut the mouth, all the mouths of the lions. Whew. What about Peter? I think for Peter, probably that night, he was over on the side there warming his hands at a Roman fire. Somebody said, "You sound like one of them." He says, "No, not me." Denied the Lord 3 times, just as Jesus said he would. Maybe it was that night when Jesus showed up. And he went fishing. And they said, "It's the Lord." And the Bible says he jumped in the water because he was naked. It was that night. I don't know. If you ask John, what was your greatest trouble? You know, he'd probably point to Patmos as he was banished there by himself in a prison. But it was there that God revealed through Jesus Christ and said, "Hey, John, since you're all alone with nothing to do, why don't you write these things down? Things that will be." Oh, John. You see, we can hope. We can have patience. We can glory in tribulation because we need to know that it is often through those times that God allows us to grow. Why? Because that tribulation, that pressure that builds, brings that patience, endurance. That endurance brings the experience to prove our character and mature us, and we can have the hope. Verse number 5, he says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because," why? "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us." Oh, hold on a second. We have something else, don't we? We have a position. We have a possession. We have a privilege. We have a person. Hey, we have a person known as the Holy Spirit of God. And He dwells within us and He ministers to us. And He groans on our behalf. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit prays for us. The Spirit goes. He knows what we need. And He is our intercessor. And He goes for us before God to say, this is what they need. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. And He says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You see, we have something in God. A position, a relationship. We have something in God, a possession that we have, acceptance, this access, this assurance that we can hold, that we can hold to. We have a privilege to glory. We have a person in the Holy Ghost that ministers to us. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I want you to notice where it all starts. By way of invitation, I want you to consider this. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Faith is always the access point of grace.